How does a podcast evolve after you've practically solved every puzzy and riddy? You really gotta expand upon your limited brand before your show gets really shitty. You turn to face reality and pray your personalities will carry this last minute pivot through. So here comes the content that nobody wanted. Now it's time for Hey Riddle Riddles Clue Crew.
Oh, God. Sorry about these. All my old college books are a little dusty.
I blew that right in my mouth.
I was like 80% spiders.
Don't say that.
No, canonically now, I've blown 80% spiders into your mouth.
You've blown 80% of spiders? Honestly, I'm impressed.
Good for you.
Don't change.
Yeah, I'm kind of a Samantha in that way.
Your spider-blowing summer. This is your summer of 1,000 spiders.
Aaron, did I get that right? Was Samantha the right one?
The American Girl doll who doesn't matter. JPC, why the heck are you bringing out your old college textbooks? I don't care about this.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. Well, you know what? I thought it's time. Life. It's time for us. I'm sorry. This is a VHS copy of The Lion King. My old college textbook. I went to a weird college.
You highlighted king, but not lion?
Slay.
What were your notes? Did you say slay?
Oh, my God.
Slay king. Slay lion king. I thought what better way to record an episode of Hey Riddle Riddles Clue Crew than by going back to college and getting into our old ethics class, huh?
Ooh.
You guys remember your old ethics class from college, right?
I guess.
Yeah, I don't think I ever took ethics.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't either, obviously, or else I would have turned out the way I did. but this is going to be a little bit of ethics 101. Because okay. Recently, I got on a little kick. I got a little kick of these like hypothetical ethical / moral dilemmas. And I thought, you know, we have like these scientists and these professors and these academic types trying to solve these things. What it needs is three knuckleheads who can improvise our way through these dilemmas. So what I've prepared for you is I have some examples of ethical dilemmas that we're going to go over, and then we're going to improvise how to solve those dilemmas, or the solve for those dilemmas.
Perfect. I have a pad of paper. I have a pen. I am ready. JPC, legally, the one thing you cannot ask is, should penguins play baseball? That was off the table, but I'm ready for any other question.
Yeah.
JPC.
I would never ask that question.
I think this is the first time ever that anyone has ever thought to come to us for any sort of moral guidance. I thought that was sort of not our brand, but I'm pleasantly surprised and I'm ready to mess
moral guidance,
stuff up.
Yes.
I'm a bit of a Samantha when it comes to spiders. I'm an American Girl doll.
Okay, I'm ready.
Just to be clear, no one's coming to us. I'm coming to them. This is all stuff that I've just collected from the internet. Now, we have a couple hypothetical ones, and then I was also looking at the moral dilemmas subreddit, too. And a lot of them are, like, fake or philosophical, so we're not going to get into those, but I might preen a few from there. But the first one, this is just kind of a common you know, moral / ethical question that may exist in the real world. Maybe it doesn't apply to all of us, but maybe at one point it did. And that is the concept of ghosting a relationship. Ending a relationship by just not responding to the other person at all.
Mm.
Do you think it is morally or ethically right to end a relationship in that fashion?
Trying to remember if I've ever done that, and if I have, then it's okay, and if I haven't, then it's bad.
Exactly. Now that's, you've landed on. So some of the reasons that people
say
ghost
not as I do, yes, I
is they want to avoid conflict, right? Like if you're a conflict averse person, you might, or you don't know how to handle a situation, you just might be handling it. Or you might be like, maybe you're like afraid of what the other person will do. You might think they'll fly off the handle or something and you don't want to deal with that. So there are like reasons why people ghost. But then ultimately, is it the most kind thing to do to another person? And maybe do we have to think about the implications of, does that perpetuate a cycle where I don't want to paraphrase psychology, but I think the phrase is ghost people, ghost people.
Yeah.
Huh?
Okay. Here's my thought about it. I think that after a certain point, you're past the point of no ghosting. So okay. I think if you have been like flirting a little over the internet and you haven't met in person, you can ghost. There doesn't need to be like a formal goodbye. And in some ways, a formal goodbye is a little insulting to that other person.
Got it.
I think after one date, and if you both don't really like each other, if no one has texted the other person after one date,
okay,
you can just sort of let that lie. If it's been 4 days and you haven't heard from the other person, you don't have to reach out. You know what I mean? But after a second date, I think...
Is it ghosting if both people just don't ever like text? Like,
then no, I guess. Yeah. But I think
that's kind of, that feels double, more double mutual.
Ghosting. You can ghost correspondence on the internet. You can ghost people who you haven't met in person. But if you have met them in person, particularly in a romantic context, and you've gone on a couple dates with them, and especially, I think, if you've been physical with that person, I think be honest and clear and communicative and respectful if you don't want to see that person again.
So like if you've lifted weights together or like played pickup basketball.
Mm-hmm. Or done like a Jane Fonda aerobics video.
If how old do you think I am?
I don't know, like 80?
If you've spit spiders into somebody's mouth, you owe them a call.
Yeah.
Yes.
Adel, what do you think?
I think there's so many factors that need to be taken into account. To me, it's a thing of if you've maybe been dating them for a little bit, so say like 1 week to... 3 months or something.
Yeah.
And that person absolutely sucks where it's like you hang out and it's like, I think this is fun. And then they're like, so anyway, my mom's a bitch. And you're like, what? I think you can at any time.
What?
If that person
Chandler,
sucks.
What?
If that person sucks, I think you can ghost to like not waste any more time or energy on the person. If you know that person is going to like cling to you or try and drag you down a la crabs in a bucket, I think you can just be like, I'm severing all ties. I don't really need to speak to this person again. I can just block them on accounts or unfollow them or whatever and just walk away. And I think you have permission to do that because the other person is just like toxic or bad. Just not great to be around. Mm. If you are married and have kids.
Oh,
Now things get a little more difficult because if you ghost with the kids, that's kidnapping. If you ghost, what I would say is do if it's anything past 3 months and the person you have a fairly good relationship with them, they're not calling their mom a B word. I would go versus ghosting. I would go with the pot roast or barbecue method, which is low and slow, which is you lay low and you slowly fade away. It's almost like what Marty McFly does in Back to the Future. Remember, he's playing guitar and then he looks at his hand.
Yeah.
And he sort of becomes.
Yeah. When he pot roasts in that movie, as we said.
Well, it's Dr. Adelterp. So I would say anything after 3 months, you have to do sort of a low and slow. And then I would say, if it's more than 3 months and the person is still awful, so say you've been with someone for 10 years and it just turns out they absolutely fucking suck.
Yeah.
Instead of ghosting, I would recommend poltergeisting. What is poltergeisting? Now, poltergeist is famously a ghost who's had enough and they are out for revenge. So then I think you can ghost them plus send them dog shit in a box.
Okay. I'm writing on a sticky note to put on my computer so it's always there. Never date Adel in all caps.
Wow. Interesting. Aaron,
I don't
you're
get
about to get a package in the mail.
I want to kind of split the difference between the two of you because I think it's more of a bell curve. I think it's like you can ghost up to 2 weeks and then not at all until 50 years. And then 50 years on, you could ghost after that. So
I think you die at 50.
You die at 50? Hey, Adel, you better fucking hope not.
I would to see a scene to maybe work this out.
Okay.
JBC, you and I are going to be on a first date, and Adel is our waiter, and he ghosted you. You guys dated for a while, and he ghosted you, and so you're seeing him again for the first time.
Got it.
So, yeah, my boss is kind of kooky, kind of wild, but he's nice, so It's a pretty good office culture.
He sounds fun, but like, I don't know. Don't take this the wrong way. I'm glad he's not my boss. But he does sound fun. But he sounds fun.
Yeah. I mean, I miss working from home, obviously. Oh.
Sure. Oh,
sorry.
Yeah, cool.
Sorry, ma'am. Seems like you're dining alone. Are we waiting for anybody else?
Oh, I'm here with my date right now, Todd. Can I get a water with lemon?
Absolutely. I'll be right back.
And a water with lemon for me as well. Okay.
Whoa.
I know our waiter.
He didn't even see you, I don't think. That was so weird.
Yeah, that's my ex. That's my ex. So that's why. Yeah, that's why that happened.
Cool.
I am so sorry. I did not know that they worked at this restaurant. I'm so sorry.
No problem. My boss is my ex, so I get it. Running into your ex can be really weird.
Oh. This recontextualizes the story that he told, and right. I think he's not a bad boss anymore. I just didn't have that context. Okay.
Cool. Well, no,
anyway,
no
sorry.
Problem.
Lemon with water. Do you want to hear about our specials today? We have specials for solo diners.
No, I'm here with Todd, and Todd would like water with lemon as well, and then we'd like to hear your specials.
You'll just have to probably order for me, because this is probably just going to be the way. And it's a really good restaurant, so I don't want to go anywhere else.
I don't think I've ever in my entire life heard those words arranged like that. Todd, that's a word slash name I've never heard in my entire life. It sounds like a noise you just made up.
You're being really eye-rolly and sort of acting a little strange.
Thank you for not saying cringe. Thank you for finding a workaround from cringe.
I mean, you guys are exes, so maybe we can talk about this in a healthy way. I'm sure it ended in a healthy way where you two can be cordial to each other, right?
No, he had an exorcist break up with me.
What?
He had an exorcist come to my house, tell me that I had died and that I was possessed by a demon. I had passed on to the afterlife. He called a lot of my friends and family and told them that I had passed away as well. It was very involved.
Is this true?
If there is a Todd, whatever that is, that you're seeing in your mind's eye or something, you might want to tell them that they probably owe me a healthy chunk of money for hiring that exorcist. Exorcists are not cheap. It's a very niche market. There's not a lot around, and it seems like they only do 3 to 4 cases a year. So
let me ask
it
you,
was very
if
expensive.
You got a Venmo request 2 weeks after an exorcist almost ruined your life, would you pay that Venmo request?
I mean, yeah, but
thank you.
Let me, I don't know. I don't know why I think I'm an expert on this. I'm just a lady who's still in love with her boss. But I think what happened here.
I
think
you would pay the Venmo request?
Yes, of course. I think
what
happened here.
What do you mean?
Is he heard about ghosting and he didn't know what it was. So instead of looking it up, he pretended you were a ghost, treated you as such, and called the exorcist.
I panicked. Simply put, I panicked. And
he panicked.
It's not like it's not like we didn't have good times with me and this what was the name? Todd?
Todd, it's Todd. My name's Todd. Your name is also Todd.
Todd, you're screaming.
Ha! Wait, are you talking to yourself? I can never know.
Todd, you're screaming is what I'm saying to my phone with a reverse camera.
Never date another person with your first name. I'm so sorry. What was your boss's first name?
Todd.
Great.
See.
All right. I think that should help people sufficiently with ghosting. Here's another one. This one I like. I'm gonna use the example of a car, but I think this could apply to other things as well. Selling something like a car without disclosing all of like the known negative things about the car. Like,
oh, that's so shitty.
Okay. So, but. Instead of car, I will do this, because this is a real one that happened to a friend of mine who will remain unnamed. I had a friend who had a condo. He's in a part of like a condo association, like a homeowners, association. And the person above him was like, they were a very hard person to deal with, but they like lived above them in the building, but they all owned their own units. And this person was like a hoarder. They had like just a lot of like issues, and they were also very mean and very aggressive with the other people that lived in the condo building. My buddy left. He sold his place.
Mm-hmm.
He disclosed everything that he was like legally required to disclose, but at no point in the selling process was he like, by the way, this is a nightmare like neighbor that you will be like living next to.
That's tough because, okay, if you don't mind, I'll speak first. To me, if it's something like a car, if it's a lemon, if there's some sort of issue, if there's if you're selling a house and the basement floods or something like that, to me, you absolutely should disclose that. If you don't, I think you're an absolute terrible person. With the instance of your friend, that is like a neighbor. So that's like outside of, it's like, I don't control that person. That's another personality. That's a person. That to me is like a gray area of like, I don't know if you need to disclose that because that's not necessarily your issue. And also that person may move or whatever it might be, or they might act differently towards someone else. So to me, you shouldn't have to disclose other people's bullshit. You should only have to disclose
your bullshit,
your own bullshit. Yes. Yeah. Your own baggage. Yes.
Okay. I think that there's a huge difference between a difficult person and a dangerous person. I think it would, if you have a neighbor that is genuinely actually scary and that you feel like threatened by, and then you let like a young family move in, I think that that's bad. If you have like noisy, like curmudgeon-y neighbor, I think that you don't need to disclose that because again, that's not really in your control as a person. But if you do feel like they are a bad vibes person, I would warn the family.
This is what I told my friend, and I don't think that they listened to my advice, or maybe I gave my advice way after the issue had already been resolved. But this is what I told them. I was like, when you sell your place, if you get a bunch of offers on your place, you should sell it to the person who you think is the worst person.
Yes. Like,
that's smart. That's
if
smart.
There is a person who's like wants to buy your place and they're like an asshole, that's the person you should sell to. In this specific instance. So that they have to deal with it. That's like karma. Like you're just like helping the universe
fight fire with fire.
Legit good advice. I do want to see a scene. Aaron, you and I are house shopping.
Great.
So I guess it turns out that we are dating. So prepare to be poltergeisted. We are shopping for a house. JPC, you are the realtor. And you are showing us the Amityville house, maybe the world's most notorious house. And you are trying to, you have a sort of vested interest in terms of like your partial owner, and you're trying to hide a lot of it from us.
How many beds and baths?
You are going to flip. This is a 7-bedroom, 5-bath house.
Oh my God.
Babe, 7-bedroom, 5-bath.
You will not find.
Hold on. Honey, finish your sentences.
The minimum math, babe. I'm just so excited.
My wife listens to podcasts at 1.5 speed, and it's really affected her speech better.
I love that. And you will not find a house this much house on the market at your price range anywhere else. This is a steal.
This is $35,000 for 7 bedrooms.
$35,000. Now, I'm not going to lie to you because it would be, against my code. It's a fixer-upper. $35,000. It sits on 6 acres. It's a pretty big lot. It's a fixer-upper. You're gonna.
I don't mind a project like we have to update a bathroom or sort of landscaping. Like, what's the project?
Why don't we just walk around and you can maybe get a better sense? Because it's not so much of like one little project to do. It's the house, I think, is a project house. Like,
oh, whoops. I'm so sorry. This is embarrassing. Is there another person? I just saw somebody walk through the wall. Is somebody else viewing the house today?
Yeah.
No.
Was there some door? How do I open this wall? Was there a cellar door that just... Is there a false wall here?
It's an open house, but please don't open the house. Sorry. Realtor joke.
It's funny.
Realtor joke. No.
It's freezing in here, like death cold, right?
I'm burning up.
So these are old houses. So this house is, that's one of the issues. It's run on radiator heat. So it's not going to have individual climate control for each room. So it's
every old house has its quirks. Oh, that dead bird came back to life. Okay. Yeah, every house has its quirks, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
There are some cold spots, for sure, some warm spots in the house. Hey, while we're talking, why don't I show you this kitchen? Now, this is truly a chef's kitchen.
Is that a baby crying?
You know what? Realtors do this whole trick. We like to put out, a candle that smells like cookies or like the sound of a baby crying to make the house like, seem more homey.
Oh, what it could
be. Oh my gosh,
be.
I love that.
But like
that
a young family.
Adorable. Okay, cute.
Now it seems
babe,
like.
That is cute.
That is and adorable. It seems like someone upstairs is maybe recommending to us Jordan Peele's most famous movie? Is that what I'm hearing? Someone's yelling, "Get Out"?
Oh, you know what? There is a screening room upstairs. Oh. So,
ooh.
Yeah. If you want to entertain, maybe, yes. Now it's not set up as such right now, but yeah, you could absolutely turn it into like one of those bedrooms into like more like a cinema.
Okay, hold
ooh,
on.
Cinema.
Honey, I see what's happening.
Cinema.
Here. He's
cinema.
Trying to. Cinema.
And we're just facing each other nose to nose saying, cinema.
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 Babe, honey, I love this place.
I love it too. I mean, between you and me, we're definitely buying it. But I see what he's doing here. He's trying to rush us up to the screening room and make sure we're not checking the kitchen. So let me open up the fridge. Ton of blood pours out. Open up the oven. A ton of blood pours out. Open up the microwave. Ton of blood pours out. Okay.
I'm sorry.
And do these baby
this.
Teeth come into place?
I can explain this. I can explain this. I know what you're thinking. I did say screaming room. Just so everyone's clear,
it
is
okay.
a
that makes
it
more
is
sense.
A room that yeah. just will scream.
That makes more.
And
sense.
The baby teeth? No, the owner is keeping the baby teeth. That's the one thing that the owner is taking.
And I would too. And I get it.
And you get it. Yeah.
Seems like this crunchy carpet is a million dead flies.
Oh, this is way more than a million.
Oh.
A million dead flies would be like 3 square feet. I mean, this is this is billions. This is
and locusts
billions.
Just came out of my mouth. Is that seasonal?
Oh, they're back. Then yes. Yes, it is seasonal. It's a seasonal. And it's like, I think they're like cicadas, so it's like every 13 years. Yeah.
Cicadas.
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 We're sitting nose to nose thing. Babe, I
love the two
place.
Of you. Okay. I will say, the seller is very motivated.
The seller's motivated in terms of like the seller in this house has its own wants and feelings?
Yeah, it's got its own motivations. There's a manifesto that's written on one of the walls in here, and it's from the seller.
Babe,
but
cool.
The seller, I did talk to the seller earlier. They do want you. They want you.
Babe, they want us. That's mm-hmm. so sweet. What about us? Like, spoke to them.
It's not so much you as the blood inside of you that they actually need. But it's all, you know, it's a symbiotic relationship.
We're both half Italian, so that makes sense.
That makes sense.
I'm going to be fully, honey, speak up if you disagree. I'm going to be fully honest with you. We are going to take the place, but.
Okay. Oh, I love
it. I know what you're trying to do. I see what you're trying to get away with.
Sure.
We're going to pay you 70 grand. You're undervaluing your house.
Stop.
70
Stop.
Grand. We're giving you 70 grand.
Honestly, the buyers don't usually pay that fee, but I am
right.
I am happy to adjust the contract.
And by the
that.
Way, we are serial killers, so we love all this murder stuff.
Yes.
If you're serial killers, you're going to love this pantry. This thing is chock full of, okay, blood. It's blood now.
Oh, that's a pantry
but
dropper.
But imagine scene.
Scene. Scene. Scene.
So,
we're standing nose to nose.
Scene.
Scene. Yeah.
Scene.
Okay. This is one. Oof. This is one is dirty. I'm going to give you like a little bit of a hypothetical situation, okay?
Trolley car.
I'm scared.
You have two friends. Let's just call them Bob and Rob, okay? Bob and Rob are your two friends. Bob is in a relationship, right? Like,
okay.
I don't want to put, maybe not necessarily married, but Bob is in a relationship with something. Okay. Rob, your other friend, is single. You go out one night and you see Rob with Bob's
partner.
Can
you partner. Pick names that don't rhyme? I'm serious.
Brett and Rob?
Okay, we'll do Brett and Rob. Yeah.
Great, thank you.
So we'll do Brett and Rob, okay? Both your friends, Brett is in a relationship, Rob is not, right?
Great.
You go out one night and you see Rob on a date in a romantic context with Brett's partner, okay?
Okay.
So you're seeing your friend Rob cheating with your friend Brett's partner.
I'm thrilled. Mm-hmm. If this is the Brett and Rob I know, I'm thrilled.
Honestly, it's not. So this is the hypothetical situation.
Okay.
What the moral quandary here is, what do you do? And as far as I can tell,
easy.
You have a lot of options, but you have three that I can think of. One, you tell Brett. Two, you tell Rob. Three, you keep your fucking mouth shut and say nothing.
Oh, I know what I'm doing.
Aaron, yes.
Aaron
talk
please.
Us through it.
Okay, so I am telling Rob, I'm giving him an
offer. I am moving to Wyoming.
I am
Goodbye
moving
life.
To Wyoming and changing my last name.
Yeah, how big is Rob? How big and scary is Rob?
Goodbye life. I would make sure that maybe I was away so I couldn't get murdered or anything like that in case Rob decided to murder me. But I'm going to give Rob an ultimatum and say, you have 4 days to own up to Brett. You have 4 days to tell Brett. And at the end of those 4 days, I tell him.
I have a wrinkle.
What's up?
I want to introduce a wrinkle to this. And
okay,
feel free
but
to
I had it all figured out and I might flip into a rage.
Okay. Rob is your friend. Uh-huh. Brett is your friend. They are not friends. And and Rob has never met Brett's partner and does not know that Brett has a partner or really doesn't really know Brett at all. These are both your friends in different like friend circles.
Great. Then I think it might be even easier then there's no like big betrayal by Rob. Rob is completely blind to that. It's sort of my responsibility and my fault that I didn't communicate well enough about Brett's partner. So I go, hey, Rob, do the right thing. Obviously, you don't want to be dating someone who's with someone else.
Sure.
Tell Brett and then hopefully he'll tell him. And if not, I'm of course telling Brett.
So you go to Brett, you go to Rob first and then you give Rob the 4 days and then maybe go to Brett if the 4 days pass and, and Rob doesn't.
Yes. And here's the thing. Karma. I'm telling you, karma. If you
who's the partner?
See something happen where a friend cheats on someone or something and
her
you don't tell the partner just because you're afraid of conflict and you don't want to be the messenger that's shot. Karmically, you are asking the universe to do that to you, too. So if your partner ever cheats on you, you're asking everyone to be silent about it. That's ridiculous. You have to be. I don't care if you're dramatic. Stir the pot. Tell everybody the truth.
But Aaron, here's what I want to say. You're asking Rob to go to Brett, but Rob does not know Brett.
No, but I go, hey, I'll take them all out to lunch or I'll facilitate the
She'll take them out to lunch.
I'm going to help.
Fight, a public fist fight?
Yeah.
My thought would be,
you guys want to go to lunch on Tuesday? Nothing big, nothing major.
Just a normal day at Dave and Buster's with three friends.
I think that's an intervention at Dave and Buster's is incredible. I think if
Adel, how do you want to solve Adel? And keep in mind, we did use two of your friends' names as examples here. Yeah. So,
well, if it's actual Rob and Brett, two of my closest friends, constantly on Rob's side. Brett is.
I shouldn't have loaded the names in this way.
No, that was my fault. I suggested it. If this is hypothetical Rob and Brett, I think if Rob and Brett don't know each other. This might be, I don't know if I'm in the right here. I think I would go to Brett's partner because I would probably know Brett and his partner. We'll assume their name is Karma. If I know Brett and Karma separately and I know Rob separately, I would probably go to Karma and just say like, I don't know if I'd swing by the table or something to be like, hey, just so you know, I saw this. And then I might like 2 days later, check in with Brett and see if she said something in terms of like, she might have assumed just by me coming over, she might have been like, oh, shit, of course he told Brett. I would probably give it 48 hours, then check in with Brett, hint towards something of like, have you talked to Karma lately? How's everything going? If she didn't say anything, I would probably then reach out to Karma and be like, I would prefer you tell Brett. Otherwise, I would say something. Or I would just tell Brett at that point and be like, your partner was out with another person. I happen to know the other person. I'm not going to say who at this point, but if you want me to facilitate some sort of conversation, I'm happy to be there. But I think, and I'm not trying to like blame the quote unquote hypothetical woman here, but I think if those two don't know each other, I wouldn't make.
And if Rob has no idea that person.
Yes. If Rob doesn't know she's in a relationship, I wouldn't put the impetus on Rob to be like, you have to fix this.
No, but here's the issue, though. This is why I'm so passionate about this. Is okay, so hypothetically, Karma is the person who is the cheater.
Got it.
That is already someone who has a lack of empathy and is super selfish.
Yeah.
And is all about self-preservation and following the impulses of their own needs. I don't trust that person to not gaslight my friend. I want the first time you hear the information that your partner is cheating for sanity. I think you need to be presented with a bunch of real information. And if you hear from your partner, you're not necessarily, they're going to gaslight you. They're going to be only worried about making themselves look good. You're not going to get any of the real information. And then you're completely topsy-turvy about what's going on. And they're likely going to be trying to win you back. You don't get empathy if you're the person cheating. You've set yourself up for that. You made a conscious choice. I'm going, hey, I actually don't want them to hear it from their partner first, because I want the first time they hear that information for it to be all facts. And everything is true.
JPC, please.
I'm firing off two texts almost simultaneously.
You up?
This is going to be insane, by the way.
Brett's getting a text. Brett's getting a text that says, yo, dog, your girl cheating. Rob is getting a text being like, yo, dog,
wrong.
She got a man. And that's it. And that's my part is now done at that point.
And you
I cut
up,
my
you
hair, I moved to Wyoming, and changed my last name.
Obviously, this all ends in moving to Wyoming. We're not always monsters.
I think the part of this dilemma is like figuring out which one of your friends you would like tell first in that regard. Yeah. And I got to be honest with you. I don't know. I think that the key is I wouldn't ever like tell them about each other. Like they don't need to know who the other person is, but I would definitely want them both to know, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I think having had a little bit of time to think more on it, here's probably exactly what I would do. I would, when I first saw it happening, I would take a picture to capture, to have proof. I would then approach the table to let Karma know that I saw everything. I would then, and I would be very polite and genial. I would then pull Rob aside and be like, can I talk to you for a second? I would pull him aside and be like, hey, I need you to like leave here.
I need you to run as fast as you can.
I'll give you a 10-minute start and then
I'm hunting
you.
Cut your hair, move to Wyoming.
But I would let him know like you need to get out of here, because I do realize in my previous answer, I could have allowed for Rob to, for something physical to happen between Rob and Karma, and I would nip that shit in the bud immediately. I would not give Rob a chance to unknowingly be physical with someone who was in a relationship and be like, I wouldn't have done it this is an exact plot point to the movie Major League, which in my opinion is pound for pound the best sports movie ever made. But there's a scene where
deleting my episode,
Roger Dorn's wife sleeps with Charlie Sheen, Wild Thing as he's known as. And Charlie Sheen did not know that was his Roger Dorn's wife. And there's a whole thing. But I would have photographic evidence. I would let Rob know so he can leave before anything happens if he didn't want that to happen. And then I would probably go back to the table, be like, you need to tell Brett. I'm going to tell him my side of the story. Mm. I'm going to reach out in a day, whatever that is, which kind of goes back to what Aaron was saying, where it's like you have X amount of time. And then I'm going to tell him everything I saw and everything I know based on that guy being my friend. I don't know if you knew that. Rob is my friend. And I would probably get some amount of text evidence from Rob to have on hand to like to send to Brett if needed.
That's smart. Okay, here's the scene. I want to see a scene, Aaron.
Great.
You have just brought Adel and I to Dave and Buster's. Adel and I do not know each other, but we apparently share like a significant other that we did not know about.
Hey, fellas. Cartwheels over to you. Thanks so much for meeting me.
You hit that golden tee game really hard. Are you okay?
Jesus. Fran, are you okay? And by the way, who the fuck is this good-looking motherfucker? It's one of the best looking guys I've ever seen in my life.
This is Tommy. He's my best friend from college.
Hey, nice to meet you.
Can I have a hug?
It's Doug. Nice to meet you, man. God, Doug, what a handshake. Doug.
Oh, thank you.
I'd hate to be on the receiving end of these hands.
Oh, thank you. I was on the semi team. How do you know? Sorry, how
semi
do you know
trucks.
Doug?
Semi-trucks.
No, that's the we used to competitively drive semi-trucks. That's why it's a semi-team. How do you know Doug? Sorry?
I'm Doug, man.
No, I know. Sorry. She passed out. Let me... Okay.
My ankle.
2, 3, 4, 5. Wait, she's not choking. She passed out.
Angela, are you okay? Angela,
oh
are you okay?
Angela,
yes.
Angela, are you okay?
Thank you so much for taking the news so well.
Your whole... What?
What news?
Wait, my whole what?
Your whole leg is shattered. Absolutely shattered.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Huh.
Oh, man. Are you heartbroken? Are you so sad after I told you?
Well, I hope that... absolutely heartbroken, because now we have to go get a cast. And,
should we get
the cheating?
I'm sorry?
With your wife. Your wife. With his... Wait, whose wife? God, I wrote this down on my hand, and it smudged from my cartwheel.
You gotta buy new pins, Angela.
Boo, 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 boo.
If your pin's smudging a cartwheel, you need new pins.
Oh, you know how your leg goes numb?
No.
After you like break your leg. If you break something, it goes numb and you can't feel it.
I've never broken a bone.
Never broken a bone.
That hasn't kicked in yet. I feel everything. I feel
so
all
sorry.
Of it.
Angela, Doug, how do you know each other?
Work.
Yeah, we work together.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and actually, Angela's Angela also helped introduce me to my wife, Sarah.
Sarah. Oh. Sarah cheated on somebody.
Sarah cheated on her taxes.
That's so funny. I have two things are funny. One, I have a partner named Sarah. And two, so Doug, you also work as a cheating private eye?
Yeah, well, we prefer the term shady private eye. We never cheat each other, but we always cheat the client.
Huh, I wish I hadn't heard that.
You're not a client, are you? Oh my God, I thought you were friends from college.
No, I have nothing to worry about. I would never, I don't need to hire one of those private eyes. A lot of them are on TV shows. There's always a camera crew. It gets really weird. People get stabbed. Sarah would never cheat on me. It's not a concern.
Amen, brother. I am 100%.
That's because she's
secure.
Cheating on him with you.
Who?
Or something.
I think you took a spill, Angela. You're all discombobulated. Sarah's my wife, but his partner's also
my partner's
named
also
Sarah.
Yeah. And if you're telling me there's two brunette, 6'1" Sarah Q quantifiers out there who went to Penn State and majored in economics with a minor in musical theater with parents named Randy and Dylan, then I guess we're both seeing the same Sarah.
I guess in that world, that crazy world, we're both seeing the same Sarah.
I forget why I came in here.
Oh, I think you wanted to play Golden Tee.
You came in here because Dave and Buster's rules.
See, they'll never get to the bottom
And neither one found out. Neither one found out.
And they seemed pretty happy, so that's fine.
There's a small, somewhat active subreddit, and I was like looking through some of the moral dilemmas posted there. So they're all like tagged with like relationship advice or personal or hypothetical. So I saw this one's personal. It's relatively low stakes, and I want to read it to you guys, and you can let me know what you think. So this one's from like 10 months ago. But the title is, well, I won't go into the title. I'll just go into the story. A few weeks ago, we had a nanny start with us. On her first day, she messaged that she was running a bit late. I messaged back that it looks like there's an open space across from our place. Today, I saw her looking out the window. Often, I asked her if something was wrong. She said she was just checking because she got a ticket for parking there on another day because apparently there was street sweeping. I told my husband I think we should pay for the ticket because I told her the spot was open and it's not unreasonable she'd assume I'd know if there was street sweeping. We've never parked on the street, so I didn't know. He says it's the responsibility of the person parking their car to make sure to read the signs, check for hydrants, etc. I feel guilty and responsible. He thinks it's not on us. Who is right?
Oh, I do not like that husband. That's so gross.
Unless this is you or something. No, this seems like a libertarian person who's like, personal responsibility. They got to bootstrap. They got to bootstrap themselves.
That's so embarrassing to be like that guy. That's so annoying. Of course the nanny is going to trust you, and that's probably a young person that's not making much money, and they are panicking about getting there in time and doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. You're such a fucking dick. This is what you have to do. Divorce your husband. Get the hell out of there. That is not the kind of man you want your kids to end up like.
Here's what I'll say. If you, two different scenarios. If you can afford, if this is real life, if this is actually a legit thing to happen, if you can afford a nanny, you can afford to pay for a nanny's parking ticket. Yes. So 100% you should pay for that. That should be a graceful action of like, you don't make a big deal out of it. You don't whatever. You just add it to their whatever. You let them know you're going to take care of it. You add it to their paycheck. You add it to their, you know, cash at the end of the day, whatever it might be. But you simply take care of it in a very subtle and smooth manner without letting them know how much you paid or anything like that.
Here's the thing. I think I agree with both of you. I think you pay the first one, right? You definitely say, hey, I apologize. I told you to park there and I didn't know about street sweeping either. Now, if the nanny's getting to tickets every day, you might be like, hey, I think you need to think about it like a new parking situation.
You might be right
now. I'm not saying pay for like a week of parking tickets, but you definitely pay for that first one.
Yes.
I've gotten a parking ticket while I was nannying and it was completely my own fault. I was running late and then just parked. And then I think I actually got my car towed that time.
Aaron, this one might be about you.
Maybe. No,
from,
but no one told me to park
there. Years ago.
I can't stress enough. If you can afford a nanny, you should be generous with your whoever you're working
Aaron,
with.
Aaron, in your situation, what did the people do?
I think the dad drove me to go pick up my car because I think it got towed. It wasn't just a ticket. But that felt like above and beyond. I did not think that was their person. Like, they didn't, I didn't blame them and they didn't assume that I was blaming them. That was just like a shitty situation. But she told her to park there. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm fired
up. The only way I feel like they shouldn't pay for their parking ticket is if this is a multicam sitcom.
Okay.
And this nanny was working in a bridal shop in Flushing, Queens, till her boyfriend kicked her out in one of those crushing scenes. What was she to do? Where was she to go? She was out on her fanny. So over the bridge from Flushing to the Sheffield's door.
He doesn't know. She was there.
That's how she became the nanny. Then I think you let it sit because it's going to make for a good 22-minute, you know, sort of circumstance.
All right, I've got another one. That one fired Aaron up. Also, Aaron, I do think that a lot of times these are like relationship advice things, especially on Reddit. They're always like, hey, I have this like kind of innocuous piece of relationship advice. And then they'll describe their partner. And everyone's comments are always like, leave him. What are you doing? This guy sucks. Like,
yeah.
You start to write it out. And it's like, as soon as you put it out on paper and you look at it, you're like, yeah, that's not good.
And I fully intended to give you joke responses to all of these, and then I just got too passionate and fired up about
all right. This one, speaking of fire, Darren, this one might strike a little less close to home. So this one says, the title of this one I will read. It says, would you give a heads up to someone that will be fired soon? 6 months ago, I interviewed and refused a job offer to work for a very sketchy company. They ended up hiring a guy that I kind of know professionally. It's a niche sector, and we end up crossing paths often. All was good until today, when another recruiter called me to replace him. She badmouthed his performance, saying he wasn't performing well and they were looking somewhere else. Didn't want to tell me which company, but once I knew the sector, I called it out and she confirmed. As I said, it's a niche sector, a high paying, I assume, job, or maybe high skill. They say high job, but I don't think it's like a high job. So it might be tough for a guy to find another one if he doesn't start to look soon. I'm considering giving him a heads up anonymously since I don't know him that well and I'm not sure how he'd react. What would you do in this situation? So you know a person is getting fired because they're looking at you for the replacement. You kind of know this person. Do you give them a heads up?
I think if I can, if there's a way, my concern would be if I gave them a heads up, they obviously would be upset to some degree. If they then rush in and they're like, I heard you're letting me go. And the person's like, what? And then they go, Adel said da 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 da. I care about that person. And their job and their well-being and all that stuff. But if I'm going to also lose my job because I said something I shouldn't have, it's not worth it to me unless I know this person very well, in which case they probably wouldn't bring me into
You don't
in the
work
first
at
place.
The same company, though. You don't work at the same company. I see. Yeah. This is a separate company just in the same field as you're in.
Yes. I would probably let them know, but I probably wouldn't say more than just, I heard you're going to be let go. I wouldn't get into like the poor performance and stuff because who knows, they might be awful at their job. And if that's the case, it's not really my concern. But if I can do it anonymously, I would probably inform them to just be like, here's a courteous heads up, just so you're not fucked over completely.
This is a moral dilemma to me.
Wow.
I think I'm going to give them a heads up.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if it's not like a crazy high paying job and you feel like they could be unemployed for a while and be okay. Yeah. If it's like a paycheck to paycheck job, which is 95% of jobs, I would tell them to give them longer to find a new job.
Yeah. Agreed.
I also think chances are there's pretty low chances that someone is like really struggling at a job and doesn't already kind of know about it too. So it's like,
You'd be surprised.
Well, okay, so then it depends on who the person is, right? Because if you know this person, you're like professionally, but they're like a very oblivious person, maybe in that instance, I'm like, well, I don't want to get involved in this.
Yeah.
But if they're like an all right person, especially if they've always been like nice-ish to you, like if they were a dick to you, then it's like, eh, whatever, fuck them, you don't owe them anything. But if they've been nice to you or just neutral to you, I think you just give them a heads up. And I don't even necessarily care about the anonymously thing, because honestly, the recruiter fucked up. Like, the recruiter should not have disclosed the information that they disclosed, right? Yeah. So it's like, I can just be like, hey, this recruiter fucked up. They disclosed some information. I know your company's hiring and it's your position. And they called me. So just so you know, you might want to start looking for something. I think you could probably do that and still be okay.
Yeah.
I think the only way I don't do this, the only way I don't give them a heads up is if, like, this dude's an asshole. Like, if I'm like, I know him professionally, but I don't like him, and he's always like not a cool guy to be around, then I don't do it.
I'd like to see a scene.
Please.
I think. JPC, you are interviewing me to be your new assistant, and Adel, you are JPC's current assistant, and you're sort of dawning on you what is happening.
Jeff, are we in this room? Are we in this room? I need you to know this stuff, Jeff. Jeff, are we in this room?
Yes, you have it booked 2 to 2:30.
Thank you. Okay. The door, Jeff. I have my computer and my coffee in my hand. Please, the door.
What do you want me to do with the door? You can't just say
the
door.
Open the door. Let's go into the room and then close the door when we get into the room. Thank you, Jeff.
Peace. Oh, I accidentally closed it. I'm so sorry to close the door on you, ma'am. Go ahead and...
Hi, am I on time here? I'm Janine. Yeah. Interviewing.
I'm Jeff.
Hi, Janine.
Hello,
you're interviewing with me. This is Jeff. This is Jeff, my assistant.
Hi, Jeff.
Do you want me to sit in? Hi, Janine. Do you want me to sit in and take notes?
Yes, Jeff, please. Okay. Like we do with every interview. Okay, so Janine, what makes you want to be an assistant?
Well, I have
That's what
some...
I do.
Yeah.
That's what you do, sometimes.
But I do it for Mr. Marquise, so this is clearly different.
Sometimes Jeff does that for me.
Maybe I'm confused about what the... Anyways, no.
C-O-N-F-U-S-S-E-D? No, that's confessed. Confused. One second. I got to Google confused.
Are you trying to spell Janine?
Shit. I can't Google confused because I don't know how to spell it. Oh, could you actually? I just wrote J. How do you spell Janine? It doesn't matter. And I got to write. Sorry, I got to write what I just said, that whole thing.
When are you able to start? What is your current workload and when does it look like you'll be able to start?
Well, I stopped my last position about 2 weeks ago, so I could start as early as Monday or even tomorrow.
Okay. Tomorrow could work. Let me ask you this. Are you proficient in the office suite? Are you familiar with iCal, Google Calendar?
Yes,
you know how to take appointments. Okay,
yes.
Great.
iCal, the college?
And if I were to ask you to book a 30-minute meeting at 2:45, when would that meeting end?
3:15?
3 o'clock. I'll let her out. Mr. Marquise, I'll let her out.
You know what, Jeff? It's actually okay. I don't know if you caught on to this, but Janine here is actually interviewing for your position.
Hi.
I'm sorry. I said that wrong. Jeff, I know you have a lot on your plate. I know this job is really tough.
Yeah. I can put some of this back. I thought the pizza was for everybody. Huh?
I'm hiring you an assistant.
Oh. Oh, that would be amazing because I am overwhelmed.
Janine, Jeff is an absolute rock star. This guy's got talent out the ass. He's just a little busy. He needs an assistant like you so he can really execute on the higher level assistant things.
And Janine, we should say, we use the word rock star here constantly. It's kind of our thing. It's very different from other corporate entities where rock star is like... Just really, we really embrace it because we think it's just like really fun and funny.
I know you look confused. Let me give you an example. Jeff, what do I love on my salads?
My contact fell in my mouth.
See? He's too distracted.
My contact fell in my mouth.
It fell in my mouth. That's a lie. That's a lie. Your contact started to fall out and you licked it. You got it in your mouth.
Like a frog catching a fly. You went.
I do love... Someone being so bad, it's like, we're going to hire you an assistant versus replacing them, where it's like, clearly you're the boss's nephew.
Fucking problem. Yeah. I think this is not a super active, the moral dilemma subreddit is not a super active subreddit. So, hey, we may come back to some of these moral slash ethical dilemmas at a later date. But all I have to say for now is that we solved the fuck out of those. We gave great answers. I think the big takeaways is always do it at a David Buster's. You want to make sure you can bad news in a public place.
Uh-huh. Also, I'm sorry I gave my real answers. I know better. Next time I'll do fake answers.
Well, Aaron, can I leave you with one final moral quandary?
Yibba-doo.
Hold on. She turned into a dog with a collar, walking on two legs, eating big sandwiches. Friend with a green shirt.
Ooh.
Aaron, your friend does a podcast. It's their turn to host an episode for some sort of bonus content. They're doing an episode on moral quandaries.
Sure.
Do you answer truthfully? Do you answer jokingly, knowing that this podcast is quote unquote entertainment?
I send him to a Dave and Buster's or Neptune.
Okay.
Whatever's easiest.
Okay. Yeah. Makes sense.
reason.
I moved to Wyoming, I shaved my head bald, and I have a new name, and it's Chucky Disco!
That was Clue Crew, so now
that's
here's
horrible.
A who's who.
It's
the
a horrible name.
Host was Aaron Keith. If you rolled your pies, it's because of Adel Refai or that other young guy, fucking JPC. Casey Tony edited what everybody said, and F. Bumpy Cardamus did the logo. Arnie Parrott sang and wrote every single friggin' note of 1, 2, 3, 4, hate riddle, riddles, Clue Crew.